They walked the next few blocks in silence, each alone with their thoughts. Finally, Savage stopped before an ugly squat building, apparently no different from any of the others, and led them through a series of surprisingly stringent security measures. Random was impressed. He still refused to give up his sword and gun when asked, though, and so did Ruby. No one was stupid enough to press the point, though Ruby looked hopeful.
You may enter.
Savage opened the door and then stood back to allow Random and Ruby to go first. Random strode in like he owned the place. He'd learned a long time ago never to appear polite or intimidated by local politicians. They just took advantage. Ruby was right there, striding at his side, but in her case it was just natural arrogance. They found themselves in a reasonably large room, very well appointed, almost excessively comfortable. It had been decorated by someone with an extensive budget and absolutely no taste. Ruby felt right at home. Random had no interest in his surroundings. He took one look at the five men sitting rather pompously behind the long ironwood table at the far end of the room and came to a sudden stop. Ruby immediately stopped with him, one hand dropping automatically to her gun. Random glared at the man sitting in the middle of the group.
Andre Delisle. What the hell are you doing here, you son of a bitch? Last I heard, you were running in a prison cell.
It's good to see you too, Random. It's been a while since Cold Rock, hasn't it?
Suddenly, Random was surging forward across the gap that separated them. The guards that had followed him in went for their weapons, but Ruby had already turned to face them, gun in hand. They stood very still. Delisle barely had time to shrink back in his chair before Random had crossed the room, leapt onto the table, and reached down to grab a handful of his shirt front. Random hauled Delisle up out of his chair and held the big muscular man dangling before him, his legs kicking helplessly in midair. Ruby made the guards drop their weapons and line up against a wall, while Random effortlessly held Delisle aloft, glaring coldly into the man's reddening face. Ruby looked back over her shoulder.
So, I take it you two know each other.
Oh, yes. This piece of pond scum used to run the mining interests on a planet called Cold Rock. Treated his people like shit. Paid them the lowest wages in that sector, and dealt with any protests through whippings, brandings, and the occasional mass execution. He grew rich off their sweat and blood and poverty, and lived the good life while children starved. When I brought my rebellion to Cold Rock, he funded the army that opposed me. Not surprising. He ruled Cold Rock in all but name. After I was betrayed and captured and my rebellion collapsed, he saw to it that my cell contained a holovid, so I could watch him execute everyone who'd sided with me, and a further 1 in 10 chosen at random, to punish his people for having dared oppose him. Men, women, and children died under his orders. Sometimes he went along and watched, and laughed. His was one of the first arrest orders I signed, after we overthrew Lionstone and her people. I made sure he got the same cell he gave me, for old time's sake. With a holovid, so he could see his people being tried and executed. I wanted him hanged too, but he had a real good lawyer, and a lot of connections. His kind always do. Even so, I was able to make sure he got life imprisonment in solitary. No parole, no luxuries, no time off for good behavior. But now, here he is, back in charge of a planet again, and I want to know why.
Please put the counselor down, Sir Jack. There are an awful lot of armed guards on their way here, and I really don't want to have to order them to take you down.
That's right. You really don't want to do that. It wouldn't be wise.
Then, may I at least point out that Counselor Delisle can't actually answer any questions while being strangled?
Random nodded reluctantly and dropped Delisle onto the tabletop. Delisle lay on his back, massaging his bruised throat and gasping down air. Random jumped down from the table and turned to face the other counselors.
I don't know you, but I might just kill you all anyway for sitting with Delisle. So sit tight and be quiet, or I'll have Ruby reason with you.
Yeah, I can be very reasonable when I put my mind to it.
Delisle resumed his seat behind the table. None of the other counselors moved to help him. His face was very pale as he tried to pull the tatters of his dignity around him. Random fixed him with a deadly eye.
Now, talk to me, Delisle. Tell me everything. Explain how you came to be here in a position of power again. Bearing in mind that if your answer isn't extremely convincing, I'm going to hang you from the city walls, in pieces.
No one in the room thought he was joking.
I was pardoned.
The Empire needed someone with mining experience to run this hellhole, and candidates were, understandably, somewhat thin on the ground. I was offered the post on condition I never leave this planet. I accepted. I should have known better. This planet is just one big prison.
My heart bleeds for you. I can't believe they give a scumbag like you a pardon.
In return for a lifetime's service here. What's the matter, Sir Jack? Doesn't the great rebel hero believe in redemption through atonement?
Not in your case. But as much as I hate to admit it, I'm going to need your local expertise. So you're going to be my second in command, arranging the things I need to save this world, as and when I need them. I'll take Peter Savage here as my liaison. If only because having to meet with you on a regular basis would turn my stomach. And don't mess with me, Delisle. I won't be betrayed again.
Delisle nodded jerkily. Random looked around at the other counselors.
Someone fill me in on the political situation here. Exactly who are the rebels? What are they rebelling against? And what in God's good name led them to ally themselves with Shub?
After they'd all spent some time looking at each other and waiting for someone else to start, it finally fell to a tall, slender man with a shaved head and eyes of so pale a blue they were almost colorless.
My name is Bentley. I'm in charge of security. I have no interest in politics, I just do my job. Our situation here is really quite simple. The rebel leaders are the ex-planetary controller Matthew Talon and the ex-mayor of this city, Terence Jax. They led the rebellion that overthrew the old order here under Lionstone.
Your comrades in the Great Rebellion, Sir Jack. After throwing out or executing Lionstone's people, they put themselves in charge. However, they had no real experience in running a planetary economy and were soon out of their depth, though they wouldn't admit it. They gave the people of Loki the vote, and after a series of blunders and mismanagements that nearly bankrupted the economy, the people voted them out of office. Talon and Jax took this very badly and blamed the whole thing on hidden elements of the old order. They retreated to the outer settlements and gathered a new rebel force around them, mostly people who were disappointed that the new order hadn't immediately made them all wealthy and powerful. It wasn't much of a force, and they weren't much of a problem. Until the Shub forces arrived to back them up. Apparently, in the last days of their power, Talon and Jax had secretly formed an alliance with the enemies of humanity. And now young Jack Random leads the rebel forces. Talon and Jax stay pretty much in the background these days.
So, I've been sent here to fight for the established order against old rebel comrades.
In a nutshell.
Delisle did have sense enough not to smile when he said this.
Funny how things work out, isn't it? It would seem you and I have no choice but to be allies, unless you want Shub to win.
Don't push it. At least now I know why Parliament wanted me here. They think coverage of me fighting rebel forces will tie me more strongly to them. Distance me from any forces that might oppose Parliament's authority. Well, we'll see about that. Right now, Ruby and I need some rest. It was a long walk here. No doubt your quarters are the most comfortable, Delisle, so we'll take them. You'll have to make your own arrangements. Any problems, talk to Savage, and he will officially ignore them on my behalf. Savage, we're leaving.
Yes, Sir Jack. Please, follow me, and I'll take you to the Counselor's quarters.
Random nodded to the counselors, Ruby nodded to the guards she was covering with her gun, and they stalked out of the room after Savage. And for a long time in the council chamber, no one said anything. Sometime later, when everyone but the night shift was safely asleep, Savage, Random, and Ruby moved quietly through the narrow streets, hidden inside concealing cloaks. Savage had already arranged it so that the guards on duty at the main computer center were friends of his. Once inside, Savage searched out the right terminal, seated himself before it, and set about calling up all kinds of files he wasn't supposed to know about. If having Random staring over his shoulder made him nervous, he did his best to hide it. Ruby watched the door, gun in hand, just in case. Random was surprised at how easy it had been. When he'd first explained to Savage that he wanted information only the main city computers were likely to have, he expected all kinds of problems. Instead, Savage had arranged everything with only a few quick calls to some old friends. Apparently, that was how things were done in Vidar these days. It was that kind of administration, and as above, so below. Knowing Delisle, Random understood completely.
Run the names and backgrounds of all the city councillors. What brought them here, and who put them in authority?
Officially, the voters did.
Savage worked his way past security blocks with the ease of long practice.
But since we're all very new to democracy here, the winners tend to be those with the most money to spend during elections. As to their backgrounds, they're all pardoned war criminals. How about that? All five of them were part of the Old Order, in positions of authority under Lionstone. They were arrested and tried for crimes against humanity, convicted and imprisoned, but later offered pardons if they'd come here and run things.
And that includes Bentley, the security chief?
Yeah, he was the first. Took up his position under Talon and Jax. Far as I know, he's always done a good job.
Who authorized these pardons? And whose idea was it to send them here?
That information isn't here, Sir Jack. Or if it is, it's buried so deep I can't get at it. But only someone fairly high up in Parliament would have had the authority to set something like this in motion, and keep it quiet. I can tell you that none of the colonists here knew about this. A lot of us took part in the original rebellion, and there's no way we would have stood for war criminals of the Old Order being put in authority over us. Hell, maybe Talon and Jax had some justification after all.
There's no justification for making an ally of Shub. Let's see what else we can find on the councillors. Crack open their bank accounts. I want to see what they're being paid to run this planet.
Savage had to use a lot of passwords he wasn't supposed to know, but he finally got the answers he was looking for. Even the best systems will fall to an experienced hacker, and as Savage rather sheepishly pointed out, there wasn't a lot to do in Vidar when you were young and restless. Which was why Loki had the highest percentage of cyber rats per population of any planet in the Empire. Random's smile fell away as he saw the figures Savage had dug up for him. The counselors were taking a percentage of Loki's gross output. Not just a part of the profits, they were creaming money right off the top. They were also pocketing a large percentage of all tax monies, and every other public purse they could get their hands on. In effect, they were systematically looting the whole planetary economy and depositing the money in banks on Golgotha. If this continued, the Loki economy would inevitably collapse, though no doubt the counselors would have arranged their escape long before that became obvious. Savage went from shocked to furious to cold rage in a few seconds.
If the colonists knew about this, they'd drag the counselors out of their beds and lynch them on the spot. But there's no way these people could have set this up themselves, Sir Jack. Someone much higher up has to be covering for them. Someone on Golgotha. But why would they want to ruin Loki?
Because they could. That's all the reason these people need.
Damn. Maybe I am fighting on the wrong side. If Talon and Jax knew about this... Look, is there any way we can contact the rebel forces? Secretly? If we could persuade them to settle their grievances through the system, with my support...
Savage shut down his terminal and turned to face Random.
You don't understand. You haven't seen what they've been doing. The rebels fight alongside the Ghost Warriors, sharing in everything they do. They've been wiping out the outer settlements, whole towns and villages murdered down to the last man, woman, and child. Afterwards, the rebels help the Ghost Warriors collect the least damaged adult bodies, so they can be made over into Ghost Warriors. The other bodies, they do things with. It's not just Shub that practices atrocities. Let me call up some vid footage we have from their last attack. They let the cameraman live long enough to film it all, so we could see what the rebels have been doing.
He activated a view screen, and Random and Ruby watched Shub and the rebel forces destroy a town with fire and steel and horror. Savage watched their faces more than he watched the screen. He'd already seen the vid footage, and knew he'd never be able to forget what he'd seen. Ghost warriors went stalking through the streets, killing everything that moved that wasn't them. Corpses with gray and blue skin, metal eyes, and grinning teeth revealed by cracked and rotting lips. Some so badly damaged that bones showed through tears and exposed meat, or loops of tattered intestine hung from slashed open bellies. Computer implants moved servo mechanisms in dead limbs, and men and women who had fallen nobly in the battle against evil were raised ignobly to fight in the name of Shub. Terror weapons, horror troops. They could not be hurt, argued with, or stopped. Wounds or damage only slowed them down. As long as the armored computer implant remained intact, Whatever remained of the body would keep going, obeying its merciless orders. They stalked their human prey with inhuman patience, killing those who stood and fought, chasing down those who fled. They killed with gun and sword, or anything that came to hand. Buildings blazed around them, the leaping flames fanned by the endless winds. People ran back and forth, screaming. The living went blade to blade with the dead to defend their homes, or perhaps only to buy time for their loved ones to escape. But they all died in the end. The ghost warriors would not stop till all that lived lay still before them, as dead as they were. That was how they had been programmed. They dragged the last few women and children from their hiding places and put on a show for the camera, tearing their victims apart with inhuman strength. Some ganged up on their victims, rending their limbs away, leaving the head and torso to scream and bleed to death on the already scarlet ground. Shub had always understood the value of a good show. Afterwards, the ghost warriors built strange constructions from human pieces, dozens of feet high, with human bones as supports and eyeless children's faces as ornaments. The scene faded away, and the view screen shut itself down. Random let out a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding. He'd seen his share of death and slaughter and atrocity down the years, but this relentless mechanical murder chilled his soul. He looked across at Savage.
I saw people in there. Humans, not ghost warriors. They were killing too and looting. Rebels?
That's right. They work with the machines. Partners. Allies. They're a part of everything that happens. Like so many other places, there was nothing special or important about that village. A place called Trawl. Population, maybe 500? I had family there. They're all dead now. Trawl didn't even have any strategic value, but the rebels destroyed it anyway, just because it was there. And they killed everyone to send us a message that there was nothing they wouldn't do, that there was nothing we could do to stop them. I lost all that remained of my family in Trawl. There's nobody else. I am the last of my line, and my name dies with me.
Yeah, there's a lot of that about these days. I can't believe humans would fight alongside ghost warriors of their own free will.
They're desperate, and a lot of them have old scores to settle. And maybe they've developed a taste for killing, I don't know. Sometimes I think the whole empire's gone crazy. The old order was bad, but what we've got now is worse.
It's just a transition. There are always bound to be difficulties in replacing one system with another. Things will get better in time.
I'm sure that's a comfort to all those who died during your transition, or to those who had to watch them die. What happened, Sir Jack? I always believed in you. Watched your battle against Lionstone on Black Market Vids. Prayed that someday, somehow, you'd succeed. Now I don't know what to believe anymore.